This is Nachyomi, Sefer Yoshua, chapter 17. In this chapter, we continue with the allocation of territory to Yosef. As we mentioned in the previous shiur, Yosef is divided into two shevatim, two tribes, Ephraim and Menashe. We've already addressed Ephraim, who always go before Menashe in berachot, in blessings, and this is for a reason that goes all the way back to the time of Yaakov, when Jacob blesses Ephraim and Menashe. He mentions that Ephraim will be even greater than Menashe. So we now come to the description of the territory of Menashe, as the territory of Ephraim was already dealt with in chapter 16. So there are a couple of significant and distinguishing features of Menashe's portion. First of all, we know that half of the tribe of Menashe is on one side of the Jordan River and half is on the other side. Half of the tribe of Menashe joined with the tribes of Reuven and Gad on the eastern side of the Jordan River. The remainder of them settle on the western side with the rest of the Jewish people in mainland Israel. So that's one thing that distinguishes Menashe from all the other tribes, that they are half in one place, half in the other. You don't have any other tribe that's divided in that way. Secondly, we read in the Torah the story of Benot Tzelophad, the daughters of Tzelophad. Tzelophad is a member of the tribe of Menashe, and he had no sons, and therefore he wouldn't be entitled, technically, under the general rules of inheritance, to inherit any land in Israel, because he didn't have any sons to whom to bequeath that land, and he had died in the desert. So normally, those who died in the desert, their sons would assume their position and receive the inheritance intended for them. But in this case, he didn't have any sons, so that his daughters petition Moshe and end up receiving his portion in the land of Israel. So the Navi here speaks about how the promise, or better yet, the commandment given by Hashem to Moshe that the daughters of Tzelophad should receive that portion that was intended for their father, was fulfilled, was carried out in the times of Yehoshua. There, another element of the allocation of territory to Menashe that is significant is that many of the cities that were given to Menashe are located within the borders of other tribes, which is interesting. They don't have necessarily one contiguous piece of territory, but you see that their cities are sometimes within the borders of territory that was given to other Shevatim. The chapter ends by talking about a complaint lodged by both of the tribes of Yosef, Ephraim and Menashe, who are here described collectively as just the Bnei Yosef. They complain that their inheritance is not large enough to meet the needs of their very substantial population. They say that they have only one inheritance. The Mefarshim, the commentaries, interpret this in one of two ways. Either it means that they only have one, meaning they have a limited inheritance, it's not enough, or one, meaning that the two tribes, Ephraim and Menashe, received one inheritance that had to be subdivided, as it were, and therefore was not sufficient to meet their needs. In either case, the point was the same. There wasn't enough land given the size of the population of Bnei Yosef. Yehoshua recommends to them that they basically solve their own problem by clearing a forest within their territory and settling it, making it into a residential area. There are also some pockets of Kena'anim nearby that they could expand their border as necessary by driving out these Kena'anim, these Canaanites, who were anyway supposed to be removed from the land. The children of Yosef again protest that defeating the Kena'anim and driving them out is no small matter. It's no simple matter. These Kena'anim are very well equipped for war. They have iron chariots and strong military. And just telling Bnei Yosef, telling the children of Yosef to simply go in and remove them is not such a light request. However, Yehoshua reiterates that the very complaint that they are making is the answer to their problem. In other words, the fact that there's such a numerous and such a large population of Jews itself means that they should be more than capable of clearing the forest that they needed to clear in order to increase the number of settlements and also to defeat the Kena'anim, since as they themselves claimed, as they themselves knew, they were more numerous and therefore quite powerful a force to be reckoned with. So therefore, there was no reason why they should be intimidated by the Kena'anim, aside from the fact that they would have Hashem's help. They could also feel confident in their numbers as a strategic benefit and advantage in overthrowing and conquering the land of the Kena'anim that bordered on their land.